This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
You heard it here last week. We talked about it. Here it is again.
Today, I'm announcing my candidacy for the U.S. Senate.
The former governor of Virginia, the former United States Senator, George Allen, joins us live on the program. How are you, Senator?
I'm doing great, Coy, and it's good to be with you and all your listeners in my old home place.
Absolutely, and we want to let folks know the lines are open, 977-1070. Anybody has a question or a comment for Mr. Allen, please give us a call here at WINA. Let's start with the big news, of course, exploding last week. Your thoughts about Egypt, and I guess really the question facing those in Washington and that you yourself would be grappling with if you were still in the Senate, is the extent to which America embraces the protesters in the streets and fights for real democracy in Egypt, or sides with what has proven to be a strong ally, Hosni Mubarak, in power now for 3 decades, but not at all liked by his own people. It seems like the Obama administration is hedging as best they can and trying to fall on both sides. What are your views on this situation that's unfolding as we speak?
Well, there were concerns when I was in the Senate about Egypt and the repressiveness for certain individuals. And we did send, some of us as senators did send messages to them that they ought to be treating certain individuals more fairly. What we want, our goal here, and this is a question of how much influence the United States can have. There's the protesters, and there's probably a variety of reasons and variety of motives of some of the protesters there. But the goal should be that we have a friendly country that's aligned with the interests of the United States. We should be on the side of free and fair elections, and ultimately what you want in every country, however they do it, is a free and just society. And they may do it differently in certain countries or regions of the world, but you know, what you want in a free and just society is 4 pillars. Number one, freedom of religion, where people's rights are not enhanced nor diminished on account of their religious beliefs. Secondly, it's desirable as a pillar to have freedom of expression for men and women without fear of retribution. Third is private ownership of property, where individuals own the property, not some monarchy or dictatorship or government. And the fourth is the rule of law, where you get fair adjudication of disputes and our God-given rights are protected. Now, they may have all sorts of ways that those pillars of a free and just society are operated in different countries.
Yeah.
That's the key for Egypt. And and obviously, they're a crucially important country for us. They're one of the few countries that recognize Israel. I remember being in Israel and speaking to the Egyptian ambassador, whose wife was from Syria. The fact that Israel was recognized by Egypt meant that his wife was not able to go back to Syria to see her family. So that's the kind of neighborhood that Israel and Egypt is living in.
Yeah. We're talking with George Allen, former senator, former governor, and a candidate for the Republican nomination for United States Senate. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Bob is with us on the line in Crozet. Bob, you're on with George Allen. You go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Senator.
Hey, Bob.
I have a few things I wanted to ask. If elected, what would you do about a few of these things? One is trade imbalance. I would like to see tariffs on China and basically making it better for American business to compete in the world instead of, you know, our economy going bad.
Right.
And also about energy independence. That's a second issue that I'm concerned about. And, of course, health care reform or, doing away with Obamacare, basically, and socialism.
Bob, thank you so much for the call, and we will let give George Allen. Now, that's a tall order there. There's trade, there's energy, and health care. I don't know if we have time for all of them.
Trade and health care, yeah, this is a speech. At any rate, we do have to be more competitive in the rest of the world. China does cheat on their currency. China cheats in stealing our intellectual property as well, and we shouldn't allow them to get away with that. I do think trade generally helps our country, whether it's a free trade agreement with Colombia or Korea or Panama right now on it. And so, but those countries are not those. And if they violate it, you need to hold them accountable. We need to make our country more competitive. Unfortunately, we'll have the highest tax on business, on job-producing businesses in the world. That makes our country less competitive. Energy, which was the second issue, also harms our country. We're number one, Coy, in the world when it comes to energy resources, thanks to our plentiful coal as well as finding more natural gas and oil. We shouldn't be vulnerable to these hostile dictators, oligarchs, and cartels, and the reason we are is because our country has been punting on energy policy since the 1970s when OPEC started manipulating production and prices. So we need to use common sense, practical conservation ideas that save the taxpayers money by using less energy. Clean coal technology is essential for affordable electricity. We ought to allow places from Alaska to Virginia to the Gulf of Mexico, states there to explore for oil and gas in their states, and advanced nuclear is part of it as well, where we can learn from other countries that do it much more efficiently than the U.S. And the reality is we do have the resources under our land and under our water. We have the resources and the creativity of the American people, and we need leaders in Washington who will unleash those resources for American jobs that will help us at our kitchen tables, make our country more competitive, alleviate a lot of the balance of trade problems we have, which are occasioned by oil, and it also is essential for the national security of our country when we have an outflow of dollars going to countries that are hostile to us. Now, on health care, instead of dependency and dictates and mandates, we need more personalized health savings accounts where individuals own the policies, not being dependent on the government or an employer. We ought to get more competition with the sale of insurance across health insurance across state lines. Tax laws ought to be equalized for individuals and small businesses so they get the same sort of tax advantages that are accorded to big interstate corporations. So there's a lot of reform that needs to be done. We do need to make our country more competitive for investment and jobs. Energy is part of it. And health care is something that matters to all of us as well, and in that individuals ought to be in control rather than government.
It's 4:43. We're honored to be talking with George Allen, former United States Senator, former governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, and a candidate for the Republican nomination for United States Senate. Just as a follow-up to two of the things there, court in Virginia and now Florida, news breaking today, have found that elements of the new health care plan coming out of Washington are unconstitutional. Do you agree with that finding?
Oh, sure do. Yeah. One of the best things I actually did, and there's a lot of good things I think I did in the Senate on keeping access taxes off the Internet and various things, but one of the best decisions was to nominate Henry Hudson as a judge in Virginia. And he and now Judge Benson in Florida have ruled that this health care bill is, and its odious mandates exceed the constitutional bounds of the federal government. And I think it's time that these dictates be knocked out, and I think the health care monstrosity ought to be defunded if it can't be repealed. And there's no constitutional right of the federal government to order an individual to buy anything. And it's not interstate commerce because health insurance anyway is within the states. And so I'm glad Judge Benson has echoed the sentiments of Judge Hudson here in Virginia. And we do need to reform the health care laws, but it needs to be done where you're fostering the ideas of personal responsibility and better options for families and small business owners to access affordable and portable health insurance.
We're talking with George Allen, and the phone lines are open, 977-1070, a candidate for the Republican nomination for United States Senate. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now. Let me ask you, you were talking about coal and natural gas, and some of these traditional energy sources obviously are very heavily subsidized with public money. Would you support investments, parity investments in green energy? And I guess that's the question on the table.
You know what would win, Coy? If everything were on a free market system, what would win? coal, oil, and natural gas. There's not much subsidies at all for coal. It's highly regulated. The depreciation allowances for oil are about the same that you would want to do for any sort of investments. If there weren't the enormous mandates and subsidies that have really gotten out of control in the ethanol area, wind power, solar, if it weren't for all of that, there's no way they can compete in the marketplace. And so, you know, we almost have a Don Quixote-type energy policy in our country where we're using the medieval technology of wind power, tilting at windmills. The folks in Massachusetts are going to have to pay 23 cents per kilowatt hours for that offshore wind electricity, which is the average for the country is 9.5 cents per kilowatt hour. So they're going to be paying way more than double the national average, and all that means is making Massachusetts less competitive. So, you know, if you had a pure free marketplace approach, what would win are those that are the most reliable, the most efficient, and the other thing is they're American as well. We're the Saudi Arabia of the world when it comes to coal, three times over, and any country in the world would consider our resources to be a blessing. Unfortunately, the sanctimonious social engineers that you have up in Washington at some of these conferences look at these resources as a curse, but we ought to use them creatively and cleanly.
If you just joined us, we are honored to be talking with former United States Senator George Allen. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. Bob is on the line in Monticello. Bob, you go right ahead.
Hello, Senator.
Hey, Bob.
I got a question for you. If you win the Republican primary, what makes you think you can beat an incumbent senator? I'll take my answer on the air.
Bob, thank you for the call. How do you beat Jim Webb if you get the nomination?
Well, all the surveys and polls have been taking have it neck and neck, and I think that we'll win with ideas. I've listened to many Virginians through the last several years. Susan and I have traveled throughout Virginia listening to people who are frustrated with the federal government. They're worried about what's going on with the direction of our country, whether it's jobs or opportunities for their children. And people are fairly riled up that Washington is ignoring them. And so our campaign's going to be on many of the issues that the first Bob called in on, and on, first of all, reining in the federal government because we're getting loaded with dangerous skyrocketing debt. China owns more of our bonds than do Americans. We need to make sure that we are a more competitive country for jobs and investment, and that means economic policies from taxes to regulations to energy policy as well. And those are issues that I hope will motivate and inspire people for our campaign. And those sort of those are the ideas that I'm asking the people to hire me on as their senator to work for and fight for up in Washington.
We're talking with George Allen. 977-1070 is the phone number. We've talked some policy. Let's talk politics if we can for a little bit. The proverbial
I like ideas better than politics. But go ahead.
The proverbial elephant in the room, of course, at the beginning of your campaign that you're going to have to deal with is the macaca remark, which there's been various explanations for. You meant to say Mohawk, or you were misunderstood, or it was a made up word, or set the record straight here. How are you going to deal with this, and how do you get this out of the way so that folks can focus on the ideas that you're bringing to the table?
Well, I'm going to deal with it forthrightly, and I've written a book, and it's expressed in there, and I'll just share it with you that I feel that I needlessly drew a college student from UVA into the race when I should not have, and he was doing his job. He was following me around the state, and I should not have made him a part of the issue. I regret it. I apologize for it, and I take responsibility for it. It wasn't done with malice, and if I had known that that word would be considered a racial slur, I certainly would not have said it. Additionally, I regret that the incident took the campaign away from issues that matter to people and their families. And speaking of families, I know that my own family suffered tremendously because of my mistake, and my wife and children had to endure all sorts of insults and taunts because of me. So this campaign is going to be about the future. It was a humbling experience to lose. You learn from it. We're going to put together a good team. I'm going to be a better candidate, and we're going to be focused on opportunities for families in the future and the issues and ideas and achievable reforms to get our country back on the path towards prosperity.
How do you win a nomination in a party that arguably, when you look at folks like Corey Stewart and Jill Rathke and the Tea Party, and a party that has arguably moved even further to the right than when you were in the United States Senate? How do you capture that base as a primary candidate?
Well, I have a lot of support from a lot of people from all sorts of wings from the Republican Party, and it's always, I've always said we need to get all the wings flapping together in the same direction. And I've spoken and been invited to many Tea Party events throughout Virginia, and I like folks who actually respond to my Jefferson quotes. And I've always been a common-sense Jeffersonian conservative, trusting free people and free enterprise. And so I hope that our campaign will be able to unify many people who are riled up, who have been stirred up by the lack of action in Washington. Most cases is counterproductive. And what I want to do is bring the voices and values of Virginians to Washington. And so I think it can be done. We take nothing for granted. We take no one for granted. And Susan and I are going to be all over Virginia, as we have been, in this effort. And this is a pivotal election coming up that's going to determine the trajectory of our country, whether we continue declining or start ascending again. And I think it's time for an American comeback led by foundational values and ideas that have proven to work for Virginia and work for America.
We're talking with George Allen. Before we let you go, I am just curious, when you were in the United States Senate, the vote or the bill or any kind of action that you're most proud of, and would you do anything differently if you could go back, whether it was a vote that you might want to change or some kind of stand that you took that you regret?
Well, there are a variety of things that I think were beneficial. Probably one that everyone would understand, since everyone's online anymore, is keeping access taxes off the Internet and making sure that avaricious government tax commissars don't make our monthly Internet bill look like our telephone bill. I also think the death gratuity, increasing that from $12,000 to $100,000 for the families of loved ones who lost their lives serving our country in our military, was an important one. The bill that turned out to be one that I actually voted to first of all, said I would not allow reauthorization for, and in fact introduced legislation to gut it to some extent, was the No Child Left Behind law, where we put in high academic standards and accountability in our schools in Virginia. And I thought the way that was proposed, it was to have no impact on Virginia. The lesson learned there is that it doesn't matter if they're Republicans or Democrats, the Federal Department of Education is going to micromanage and meddle. And so that's why I wanted waivers for states that had standards and accountability, and said there's no way that I would vote for reauthorization of that. So I was very upset with the fact that the federal bureaucrats were going to force Virginia to dumb down our standards to comply with their edicts. So that's a lesson there, and one learns a lot of things through the years. I was glad we got the tax cuts through that created jobs and made our country stronger in many respects. But as if you go through a lot of votes, that was the one that obviously I had changed my view on after a few years of seeing the federales pestering Virginia.
George Allen is a former governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, former United States Senator, and, of course, the Republican nominee for the Republican nomination for United States Senate. We'll look forward to talking to you again, Senator. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Coy. See you all on the trail ahead in Jefferson Country.
That's George Allen. He is a candidate for the Republican nomination for United States Senate, and we'll look forward to having him on the program again as the campaign moves forward.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.